Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Monday, August 16th, 2021. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. I'd like to remind everyone, RBN is listener-supported, folks. Please donate what is manageable. No donation is too small. But we have had a bit of a rough patch, you know, the end of summer here. We haven't had many donations rolling in for August so far. We could really use the support. It'll be the end of the month before we know it, you know. We really haven't had what we generally like to see by this point to cover the monthly expenses. So please, you could not overstress our good leader, owner John Stadmiller, over these issues just to stay afloat. Please do what you can, folks. And for every $100 donation, we're giving as our thank you to you, your choice of either a high-quality RBN T-shirt and a choice of size of your choice, or an official RBN coffee mug. And they're both excellent conversation starters around the water cooler. Spread the word about free speech in style. As I always like to point out, you can use PayPal on the RBN website donate page. You can call our RBN staff to donate via credit or debit card. You can call in to donate at 800-724-2719. Extension 3. Or you can mail in that donation, cash, check, or money order to Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And we greatly appreciate it, folks. Free speech cannot exist without being funded by we, the people. So please help ensure that RBN continues broadcasting uncensored content well into the future. And I do have my Monday co-host, an Irishman residing just outside London, Mr. Paul Edward Stevenson, here with me. Hello, Paul.
Hey, Richard. Pleasure to be with you as ever.
Yes, yes. Good to have you here, Paul. And I just noticed an article, to start, it seems appropriate, you being from Ireland, and evidently the children now, they're coming after 12 to 15-year-olds now. They're coming after in your home of Ireland there with these shots. Children in Ireland start receiving COVID-19 vaccines. And, this is just, it's bad enough for adults who are not truly given informed consent. You know, they're completely lied to about the nature of these things and the risks involved. But the children, who couldn't even make a decision, even if you were to give them informed consent, which they're not. It's doubly criminal, is the only way I can put it.
Yeah, well, like any increasing, you know, totalitarian state and police state, they are desperate to get their hands on your children. And in fact, as bad as that is, Richard, let's pop over there to Scotland, where they have now, it's just guidance at this stage. They always need to start the camel's nose under the tent with guidance, where four-year-olds, yes, you heard that right. Four-year-olds can now identify in schools with whatever gender they want without parental consent. The parents don't have to be involved with this. It just needs to be between the school and the teacher. So if you've got a four-year-old boy who may decide just out of some whim that he wants to identify as a girl, which is an idea which I don't think comes naturally to any four-year-old boy or girl, if such a thought would occur to him that he wants to, you know, identify as a girl now, well, then that's nothing to do with the parents, apparently. They can do that, and the Thomas can now go home as Wendy, Everybody can know about the change from Thomas to Wendy in the school. But the parents don't need to know about this, apparently. So that's what's happening up in Scotland. I mean, talk about trying to get control of your children.
Wow. Yeah, well, that's one way. You know, that's one great way to have the children turn against the children. I mean, have the children turn against the parents for that of the state. And, of course, when you want all these other narratives, like the COVID pandemic, to be adhered to, and all of the anti-white agenda propaganda, I mean, it's a great demographic for them to play upon. You know, the LGBT community is ripe for the picking. You know, I mean, they're very needy, and they've been so propagandized. A lot of them aren't actually even gay. They were just misled into a lot of it, and certainly a lot of the trans are not are not really wanting to go that route. If they weren't so manipulated, a lot are being censored when they put out videos talking about the regrets they have and how, you know, they've mutilated part of their body. They can never change it again. This creates so many more stresses and problems. You have to try to maintain things with all these high hormones. Huge suicide rates. Yeah.
Well, children are very, very suggestive. And, you know, a four-year-old is not capable of, deciding anything for itself. That's why it has parents. I mean, this is obviously so blatantly obvious. So it's child abuse, really, by the state, and it's the power of suggestion, because you could suggest all sorts of things to a four-year-old, and, you know, they're so vulnerable, they don't know any better. I think largely the LGBTQ community has almost entirely been a creation by the far left in the state. It's a socially engineered phenomena, again, by suggestion, in my opinion. It's not some natural evolution of even homosexuality, just taking out all the other, you know, letters in this, equation, and just the level of abomination we've seen exponentially. But, you know, even just homosexuality, I think that was heavily socially engineered. Again, I don't think, you know, that has been a natural evolution of mankind, sort of morality or sexuality. It's been pushed, and you're talking about a tiny percent of the population here even who would identify as homosexual, let alone all the other, in my view, completely twisted, you know, ideas that they come up with, and this gender fluidity and just all of it. It's doomed, in my opinion, to ultimately collapse under its own degenerate satanic weight. And I hope that is the case, you know?
Yeah, well, it's certainly used as a wedge to get people to, resist traditional values and just all of the traditional culture.
Yeah.
And of course,
the family
side with the state.
Yeah.
It is an attack on the family as well. Yeah, for sure.
And the authority of this, you know, so, you know, these kids can identify without the parents even having to be involved. I mean, if that doesn't get a reaction, I mean, you talk about overreach, and we've had the coronavirus thing and lockdowns, but how much are people willing to take? I mean, if you can't take a stand for your children, then you can't take a stand for anything.
Speaking of that, Australia now is taking to China's policy of locking people into their buildings in some regions. And then, of course, China is going back into lockdown, allegedly here. China locking down again, over 100 million being put back on lockdown. They're saying, I don't know, the UK, where you are currently, is also pretty draconian as the norm these days. I mean, and of course, we're getting suppressed information in lockstep, the governments and agencies the world over. It's like everyone has, you know, these marching orders of how to deal with alleged cases and cases. I mean, if it's someone who's had the shot, then they try to not consider it a case or a COVID death. You know, just the exact opposite of what they're continuing to do with those who have not. And
yeah, exactly.
Fatality rates in the vaxxed versus unvaxxed from new government data in England is showing, it's what, like three times, 2.46 times more likely to die if you catch something wild once you're vaxxed than unvaxxed. And we have about three times, it started between like January and March, crossing over completely, where a lot of people had their shots by then. And by March of this year, you know, we're seeing like three times the hospital deaths from those who've had the shot than those who have not. You know, that's just from what data we do have. And of course, even the CDC's data on adverse, and remember, adverse events includes death. People might not, a lot of people might assume that that's like things other than death, but no, that even includes the category of death. I mean, from 1990 to present, it pales in comparison to just what we've had since the rollout of these mRNA gene-altering shots so far. A huge number of deaths, more than everything from the past 30 years combined, far more. I mean, like, it's insane the amount more, where you'd think you were comparing even 1 year to another, and it's an amazing increase, but yeah, you can't imagine for a 30-year span. So, I don't know.
Yeah, it's shocking.
Yeah, the PSYOP is just going into overdrive, you know, and more and more areas are feeling the spillover, like just the economic aspects, you know, the inflation, shortages, stores not getting food, and of course the increased droughts, I mean the engineered shortages and famine that are coming.
Yeah, there's all sorts of stuff that's coming down economically, socially. It is quite frightening, and it's just the speed of, when we're talking offline, just the speed of which things are accelerating. I mean, these people, you know, they don't even, we were talking about the racial issue in the United States, and you know, they get more and more emboldened, where it's kind of like, you know, it is sort of bullying, and it's part of the psychological abuse, which is what it is, where they say all sorts of anti-white stuff, and they just sort of shrug their shoulders. It's just like, well, so what? You know, what are you going to do about it? You know, Mr. Whitey, you know, we're taking your country. You're going to be a minority, and what do you think you're going to do about it? You know, and we'll be as racist as we want, all the while calling you racist. I mean, it really is a sort of a mass menticide that has been perpetrated against white people, you know, gradually and perniciously, and then, you know, exponentially. And as I say, you're now at the point where it's just, they just say what they want with impunity, you know, and what's the white man going to do about it is kind of the attitude, you know?
The latest variant in the whole anti-white agenda, of course, is this term critical race theory, you know, this blanket term. Yeah. But I'm finding it interesting to apply to a lot of things. I mean, the city I'm in, it's an amazing example with Mayor Lori Lightfoot, who won't even take interviews from white people, and you know, so yeah, this is the city. This whole city represents the whole, well, critical race Chicago, I call it here. And then, you know, anything out there that goes against their narrative, of course, you know, I mean, anything a good that white people are shown to do, well, that would just be a critical race tragedy now, wouldn't it? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they, you know, they should be careful, because the reality is, you know, black people are weaponized by who really pulls the strings. And if the Jewish oligarchs and Jewish power structure managed to get rid of white people effectively, then they wouldn't need black people anymore, and they would do whatever they wanted with black people, because that is just pure using them as a weapon. And actually, the white man has been the friend of the black man, whether he likes to acknowledge it or not. There has been no hostility. Okay, yes, there's been periods in history, like any empire, where there's been abuses, but on the whole, I mean, white people have been very good to black people, and white countries have been very good to black people. People vote with their feet. They're still voting with their feet. They're risking their lives to come to white countries. So those are little opportunists, but their day will come. You know, justice will be done in the end, I believe, when this all rolls out. They're really overreaching at the minute. And I think they'll push too far, and they're already pushing too far, you know? So we'll see. They're not going to get it all their own way, that's for sure.
Well, that's certainly another way they divide. I mean, anyone of the far left political bent seems far more willing to accept totalitarianism from the state. As long as you brand it, you know, with, you know, an anti-white critical race rapper, or some sort of, like, you know, health mandate. As much as we do have a lot of resistance from the both black and Spanish-speaking communities, you know, I don't know. I'm hesitant to use the terms Hispanic or Latino because neither of them really are appropriate. So I don't know what to call these people. But, you know, in general, the mestizos and the blacks are more resistant, we're seeing in figures, than even the whites to the shots.
Well, the whites are, yeah.
Nonetheless, though, I mean, the far left agendas seem to get people to want a totalitarian. Even the BLM with the opposite, defund the police. You know, it's actually come out in documents that BLM are being ordered to do this. Those at the top, you know, the Soros crew, want a federal police force to replace the local police, and therefore defund the police is a Hegelian problem reaction solution for more totalitarianism. And these people just don't even realize how much they're being played as pawns.
Yeah, and it's so extreme. You know, this is great. These people are you know, impervious to irony and oblivious to their own double standards and ridiculous, you know, the sort of the levels of ridiculousness, because they are so extreme. And if you don't like it, then you get branded an extremist. If you don't like putting something, a shot into your body, or as I said, you know, probably God knows you'll have more shots in you than there are Super Bowls by the time they're finished, you know, and you don't like that, you don't want that for your children, then you're an extremist. If you don't want your country being overrun by other peoples and your heritage and your culture destroyed and your religion infiltrated and everything you believe in and hold dear, if you don't like that and you happen to react to it, you're an extremist. They just want to be able to do what they want with you when they want to do it with you, and you can't say anything because they control the language. And if you control the language, you in no small part win the war, you know. So, you know, it's so Orwellian, and I think it just leaves people very off balance and difficult, because it is difficult to know how to react to it. But that's the whole point of it, you know. That's part of it.
Yeah, one article had a screenshot from one of our corporate media news stations, NBC, their nightly news, and Department of Homeland Security banner on the screen mentioning potential terror threats. A domestic terrorist could include opposition to COVID measures, claims of election fraud or belief Trump can be reinstated, acknowledging 9/11 anniversary or religious holidays. And of course, if you tell someone on YouTube that you're going to pray for them, well, then you could get that removed from YouTube. Content that encourages the use of home remedies, prayer, or rituals in place of medical treatment, such as consulting a doctor or going to the hospital.
This is where it leads. And when you push back, and when you're talking about, you know, even years ago when you're pushing back at some of this stuff, people said, oh, it's not that bad, they'll never get that bad. They always get way worse.
And people forget how much we warned in advance. We'll be right back, folks. Stick around. Well, this is not a miracle, for this is not America.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org. And click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
What I see with old eyes, and every time I turn around another dies. Think about this, these looks could kill. It's just glad we're gonna walk sometimes, but I'm walking on my own. We dream of familiar places. It's just glad we're gonna.
And we are back, folks. Beyond the official narrative, Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey here with my Monday co-host, Paul Edward Stevenson. And I think that, I don't know, the most damning move yet, Paul, might be this removal of medical licenses. I mean, across the board, I haven't heard confirmation of this in the U.S., but I mean, in France, for certain, doctors are being threatened to have their medical license removed if they don't get the shot. And as far as talking about this stuff, I mean, you know, we're hearing in a number of places, you know, having your medical license removed just for going against the official COVID narrative. I don't know if I've heard that confirmed here, but clearly it's just an unspoken. Like in Hollywood, you don't speak of Gaza. In America, you don't speak against the COVID narrative if you're a doctor, right?
Yeah, again, it's shocking, but, you know, it's sadly it's getting less shocking because they really are, you know, making their move, you know?
Yeah. We have a caller on the line. Let's hear what he has to say. Charles in Florida. Hello, Charles.
Hey, Richard and Paul. Yeah, I was looking at the Truth Seeker, .co.uk, and he had Stu Peters on there. He's a new one. I haven't seen him before. His program on the August 13th, interviewing a lawyer that's suing all these medical hospital associations. He doesn't blame the physicians and nurses. It's the insurance company and big pharma and insurance companies behind these hospitals. Yeah. He says, especially here in Florida, among others, they have the habit of putting people on remdesivir which is only the most expensive so-called remedy for COVID-19, and well, it's actually very bad, actually. And it costs, one pill costs like $1,000 or $4,000 a piece. And putting remdesivir and then putting them on ventilators and putting, and then neglecting the feeding and pretending to feeding them through intravenously, says his lawyer, Thomas Rentz, who's suing hospital associations across the U.S. So they're out to kill people for profit. And he says Fauci belongs in prison. He wants to sue him.
Well, there are so many different levels to this. There are so many different levels to this, Charles.
Stu Peters show.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. Yeah, there are so many levels when you look at just the cover-ups at the hospitals alone and the threats to the medical community. I mean, that is such a huge component. And then you look at the PCR tests. And now everyone is blatantly saying, okay, yeah, these PCR tests haven't been working. We're acknowledging that now. You know, the CDC, all these figureheads and agencies. We still want you to go ahead and get those shots. Oh, but we want you to go back to wearing the masks, of course.
They want to blame the people that are not the anti-vaxxers, people that aren't taking the vaxxers like us, like me.
Right.
Like they want it and not talk about shedding all the how vaccinated people are shedding and passing on their spike proteins and
I'm still not convinced it's as damaging to us just from the shedding than those who actually get the shot. But you know, even the information, like I say, the informed consent is not there. People have no idea the nature of these shots the way we do in the independent media. And, you know, that's just such another component. But if you just look at the cover up at the hospitals, you know, and so-called cases and what's being reported and what's not, whether if you had the shot or not, these categories and these edicts given behind closed doors and through letters and emails to the medical community, that alone is enough to stop all of this. The PCR test, the nature of it, that alone is enough to stop all of this. And again, just the nature of these shots and the planning in advance, the patents, people like Fauci with conflict of interest owning 4 patents. Come on, seriously? This is just a joke. I mean, it is complete clown world we're in now. And we saw how the Supreme Court was about election fraud. How are they going to be any difference when we go through legal means to challenge this? It's worldwide, and it's the banks, Charles.
Right. Yeah, they're to be rigged for the big, you know, like BlackRock and the big monopoly capitalist organizations. And then
we have the break. Hold on. Hold that thought, Charles. We'll be right back.
Wash away the dust of everyday. Wash it away.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the CoSertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
And we are back, folks, beyond the official narrative, Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey here with my Monday co-host, Paul Edward Stevenson. And we have Charles in Florida on the line. Paul, what do you have to share with Charles, sir? Feedback to what he's bringing up.
Yeah, I think the courts are going to be incredibly busy over the next few years. You are going to see, you know, an increasing amount of challenges to this, because there's a lot of grounds for a challenge, and this is unprecedented, you know, what they've done with these lockdowns and the destruction that they've caused, and now these mandates. I mean, it's all over the place. It's just I think we've got a similar solicitor over here, a lawyer over here, that I heard about just when Charles mentioned that. It sort of brought it to my mind about some serious legal challenges that are coming from some businesses and from some medical practitioners and stuff, just the way all this has been handled, because I think there are serious grounds for legal challenges on this. So I expect the courts to be very busy over this in the next sort of 3, 4, 5, maybe 10, 20 years, who knows.
Yeah, the lawyer anyway on the Stu Peters show, to say he was calling them killers, they're just organized medicine and these not doctors or the nurses, but they're organized. Big pharma are really just killing people deliberately. When they want the numbers to go up, and they're trying to, you know, wave a red flag in front of the morons out there and tell them it's the unvaccinated that are responsible. It's the vaccinated that are carrying the things and passing it on, shedding these spike
and you know what's
spike,
interesting
spike and you know proteins.
What, gentlemen, you know, what's interesting, I mean, even though we have, a lot of federal employees being forced to take this shot, this experimental shot, and we have the military included in that, the Biden administration's not mandating the COVID vaccines for the White House staff. The CDC is not mandating the shots for their employees. Okay, over at Pfizer, they're not mandating for their employees. If that doesn't tell you a little something, just like how the Monsanto cafeteria has all non-GMO organic food only.
Sure. They know. Yeah, and also out in L.A., I saw the film of the big riots against Antifa attacking him physically. It was on the truthseeker.co.uk. So we're beginning, the United States is beginning to have organized groups coming out and going after groups that are against forcible vaccination. But I think they're going to the next stage in a couple months or a month or so of beginning to put people in secret jails now.
Yeah, there's internment camps. These internment camps we're hearing about. We're seeing
ads. They're doing that in Australia already.
Yeah, they're looking for people they're hiring to work at these camps. You know, we are seeing on like Indeed.com, Paul over here, that's one of the common places for job postings. I don't know if you guys...
We have it here, right.
Yeah, there's a lot of postings in different cities across U.S. are looking for people to work at these resettlement internment camps for alleged quote-unquote high-risk COVID people.
This is just like, this is just gaga land. I mean, it's honestly, it's... Every time I think I've heard it all, I'm sure, you know, it's like Indeed advertising. I keep an eye on Indeed for gardening jobs sometimes.
The super spreaders are the people who have been vaccinated. That's a lie, and they twist it around. The unvaccinated, they want to confine in FEMA camps. It's a vaccine. The people who have been vaccinated are spreading this ADE of antigen-dependent enhancement.
But they're flipping all the numbers, and they're only counting any alleged positive COVID cases or any COVID deaths from just assumption or their fake PCR test. Inconclusive, inaccurate PCR test, which is... Well, right. I mean, come on. You know, they don't even need to use the test. Well, they know the numbers they need.
Kerry Mullis is very, you know, he's interviewed on BitChute. Just look up Kerry Mullis. The videos of him recalls Fauci of a fake, you know, and knows nothing. He's an administrator. He's not a scientist. He said he did debate him, and that was over HIV. And it's the same thing, really.
Right. Well, listen, Charles, I've had you on for a bit here, sir. I do have a couple other callers to get to.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
You have a good day.
You as well. Now let's go to Stephen Douglas Whitener, my Friday co-host. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Richard. Hi, Paul, fellow domestic terrorists in the Republic Broadcasting Network family. How are y'all? I just was listening, and it's scary what's going on. These internment camps, it's like, shut up, peasant. Those camps are for your safety, don't you know? I believe that's where we're at. That's the next phase that's going to happen. They project this thing in three different phases. The first one being cold and flu symptoms, and the media hype, and basically the psyop that was going on. And then the second one was supposed to be further. In fact, I have this synopsis someone sent me, and I don't know. They say it's from Operation Lockstep, and I've read that document, and you know, this, I don't remember the 5G being in there, but it may be. And there's another document that was put out by the World Health Organization, some sister organization, that also talked about phase one would be a virtual pandemic, is what they called it in this document. And then at phase two, they would release a weaponized, bioweapon, basically. I think that the bioweapon is in the shot. and that all these other things about releasing it, that was just, you know, hype so that they could get this needle into us, and that's the way that they released it. I'm not sure if that's the case, but, you know, the more I think about it, it looks that like that was the real attack, that needle that they're coming at you with, that's the real attack. That's what we need to fear, not touching something that somebody sneezed on. That's not going to kill you necessarily, but that needle's going to kill you. And people need to wake up and realize that, and a lot of the people that listen to these broadcasts do, but... And then, alas, there are a lot of people who I love who have taken that needle. And I just, oh, man, it terrifies me what's going to happen to them and to us as well, but especially the ones who had this thing over the next year to 2 years. I don't know. They know something that we don't. They're hiring for these things, and it says phase one would be common cold, flu, mild symptoms at most, media endorsement of mass paranoia and fear, flawed testing system utilized, which picks up any genetic material in the body and triggers a positive result, inflation of COVID case numbers through changing of death certificates, double counting and classifying all deaths, including other diseases and natural causes, as COVID-19. Lockdown will condition us as life under draconian laws, prevent protests, and identify public resistance. Seems like we've gone past that phase. And in the second phase, the first phase will lead to compromised and frail immune systems through lack of food, social distancing, wearing masks, and lack of contact with sunlight and healthy bacteria. But also by getting these needles stuck in you and what's in there, that lowers your immune system too. And then it's phase two talks about 5G radiation will further hit the immune system. And I don't know if that's true or not, but all the other things definitely are going to lower your immune system. So when people start to get sick again, and I mean, they're getting sick in the summer now with respiratory stuff, and what they think is respiratory stuff probably is a result of the jab. Hey, am I coming through, gentlemen? I didn't drop off, did I?
Yeah. No, you're coming through fine. And what do you think of what I was pointing out as an important concern about doctors losing their medical license in France? They have to get the jab. In France, the doctors will lose their medical license if they don't get the jab by, mid-September or October. I'll have to read the thing later this week. And then in Australia, they're being threatened with cancellation of their medical license if they say anything which goes against the state dogma.
Indeed, this is not just an attack on us as the people, but an attack on our medical system, on our doctors.
That's the only way we'll ever convince the masses. Well, a lot of people say, like, you know, past vaccine botch-ups or intentional experiments from the government and corporation, that it comes out years later or decades later, and that, but eventually enough people, you know, the sheeple, accept it and all that. If our doctors are silenced, you know, how are they ever going to find this information out? I mean, this is a very dangerous path.
And if,
how do we? I mean, if we can't even use doctors to convince people that this is a plandemic, you know, is
I don't know. What else can we do? I agree. I was speaking with a nurse who was here earlier, and she said nurses are leaving the profession in droves because people are trying to make them take this shot.
Well, Stephen, remember we have Paul here. I don't know. Did you have anything to add?
Yeah, I just think it's, you know, it's a further example of the overreach. I mean, these people just think they're untouchable now, and they are going to wake up people, and people are going to learn the hard way. But I think people are going to start, you know, learning very quickly when they see that what's going on, because it's just absolutely insane what's going on. And a lot of people are suffering, and a lot of people are under attack, like the medical community. And I also think it's very interesting about the immune system, because the people who've taken the jabs are also the people who've obeyed every little diktat from government. So they haven't been hugging people. They haven't been getting the sunlight. They, you know, they're wearing these masks. None of that stuff is good for your immune system. None of it is consistent with human behavior. I mean, it's important to touch people and hug your loved ones and to get sunlight and to be out working. A lot of people aren't working. They're not interacting. And then those are the same people, as I say, who are wearing those masks, which are just cannot be healthy. They don't protect you from anything, and you know they're getting the jabs as well, and God knows what's in those things. But we can, I think, safely extrapolate that the hospital's been full of vaccinated people would suggest, you know, not only do the vaccines not protect you, but they may well be compromising your immune system. And while I'm not some sort of bio expert, I would you know, guess that that's what's happening here. You know, it's a complete deception, and those things are going to just compromise your immune system and leave you very vulnerable to future variants and all other stuff. God knows what they've got in store, you know.
Well, listen, we have another caller on the line, but did you have any questions about UK for Paul, Stephen?
Yeah, Paul, you mentioned Scotland earlier. They were coming after the children. What about this ping apocalypse there? Have you noticed anything there? Have you been pinged? Do you know anybody who was? And do people really fear when they get that net, but you know, that little ping that they've been exposed? I wanted to ask you about that earlier, Paul. Could you kind of give us a quick rundown on how that's going? Are people buying it, or they, or what?
Well, yeah, we've had this, we've sort of named it over here. It's become known as the pingdemic. And whether people, you know, are obeying out of compliance, or whether they're just taking advantage of it, because then you have, you know, it's this kind of whole thing that you've had with coronavirus, because people can take time off work. They can say, well, I've got pinged on my app because they opened up. We had the Euros over here, the Euro football, and lots of people were mixing. And then so all these, there was these, I don't know what the numbers, but they were off the scale of people being pinged by this NHS app, which I don't have on my phone, so it's never bothered me. But there has been serious consequences of it, because a lot of staff haven't turned up for work. And, there's been shortages in the supermarkets of, you know, of basic things. And, you know, we had a couple of weeks here where your rubbish was all piling up because the guys who work for the council to come and collect your rubbish and your recycling, you know, they were obviously not working. So, yeah, there were serious implications of that. But I think they've got that under control now, you know.
Again, I heard.
Okay, well, thanks for that report. Update. I wanted to ask you about that earlier when I saw it in the news. And it just seems like this whole thing is an attack on Western civilization and our society in any way that they can come at us. And it's all, when you look into it deeper, it's all BS and psyops. And, you know, they have the threat of something. They're going to push harder if you don't comply. And, man, people, just don't comply. Don't fear. Get out there and tell your neighbors about this. And thanks for taking my call, Richard. Paul, it's great to talk with you again. And y'all be good to each other. I'll talk with you again soon. Thank you.
Hi, Stephen. Good to hear from you. Take care.
Thank you for the call, Stephen. Let's go on to Paul in California. All right. What's on your mind, Paul? We have Paul and Paul facing off.
You can't have too many Pauls, can you? You know, sometimes these shows that you do, Richard, I feel like they can get such momentum, especially when you get joined by some of your other your co-hosts. It's almost like it could become a two to three hour or more roundtable. There's a number of things that I would love to take time to play off of what Paul said earlier, but having limited time, I'll just touch upon one or two and then make my main point, which I keep trying to make over and over again and get people to repeat it. So one of the things that he said is about the fact that they're just kind of saying, hey, white man, what are you going to do? And from the beginning, going back many years, I felt that in the end, the essence is essentially that. This is nothing more than a street, you know, level playground brawl where, you know, they're putting their finger in our chest. They're poking us, daring us to do something. You know, that's really what it comes down to. And unfortunately, you know, not enough people have knowledge and courage to avoid what is likely going to come. And I think we all know what is likely going to come. People are going to be pushed and pushed and pushed. And not so much because any of these tyrants are doing any pushing. They're being pushed by their fellow citizens. That's the issue. And their fellow citizens lack the knowledge and the courage. To wit, there is no authority anywhere in the law to require anybody to get a medical treatment of any sort, including a vaccine. The authority to require you to get a shot or to wear a mask or to take a pill does not exist. It'd be like these people issuing a mandate that you eat a hamburger. You know, they don't have the authority, and that's why they're pushing it off onto the corporations and the companies and the retail establishments. Again, I make the point, and it's quite simple. Everywhere you go, every mask hassle that I've been in is from some clerk or some assistant manager or some store manager who has really no interest except they're being told from above they need to do this and they need to do that. And I've not yet had one answer to the question that I posed to these people, that if Gavin Newsom does not have the authority to require me to wear a mask, and he doesn't, the courts have ruled I have the court decision with me in many cases. If he doesn't have the authority, how do you? And they don't. And, of course, it doesn't exist. And just real quickly before I'm done with this little mini rant, is that there was a caller this morning on John's show. I think his name was Charlie from Florida. And he made some great points, but he also showed his ignorance in many levels. But he was talking about the fact that on the Truth About Vaccines website, which is run by Ty Bollinger and his wife, that there's plenty of documents where you can opt out legally from all of these vaccine requirements. And they're not all just religious-based. And they had plenty of what he put it as very detailed and legal documents that give you the option to, to not be required. And so that brings up the obvious point as well. If there's all sorts of ways out already existing in the law, then that just kind of tells you right there that they lack the authority to require you. So once again, it's all based upon lies and bluff and deception by the people of the lie.
Yeah, audacity. And they're just the hustlers. That's what they are. They're just hustlers, with suits on.
Well, you gentlemen need to trust the science. You know, you're domestic terrorists, you're racists, and I can't believe you're talking like this.
Yeah,
right.
I saw an interesting stat that unemployment isn't falling for Black and Hispanic workers in the Biden economy. It's just the white and Asian workers who have had jobless rates increase. So isn't that interesting? Just to back up some of the social engineering you gentlemen are pointing out, which is also using COVID as the scapegoat for all.
Well, this makes perfect sense because they're poor and they're dumb, and in many cases they're desperate. I mean, it's been known for many, many decades that, of course, they do undermine the living wage for the, shall we call them, the native inhabitants, the people that are already here, because they're coming from somewhere else where their labor is not worth anything there. So when they come here, just the fact that they can get a job, right, I'm not going to say that in many cases they're not worth they're higher because they have been proven to be quite excellent workers, but they're not the creators of civilization. And as I've said many times, they couldn't and they didn't invent all the tools that they use. All the tools and all the benefits of civilization are created by white men. And as Paul made the point earlier, these people vote with their feet. So there's a number of things going on here. But the last thing I want to say, I want to give a shout out to our English forefathers, okay? America, we're just the stepchild of the British. I mean, aren't we using your language to this day? Didn't we inherit your legal system, trial by jury, right, innocent until proven guilty? Didn't we get all that from you guys? You got to show us the way. You know, you got to throw your tyranny off over there so that we can get it on over here.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you. Here, Paul, did you have some feedback for Paul?
Yeah, I was going to say it's the same with people who come here for welfare because they come from like such poor countries, and it's not exactly appealing to the native population, although it's become more appealing, but to live on welfare. But if you've come from certain parts of the Middle East or Africa, you can live like a king on welfare here, and you will have no qualms about having 7, 8, 9, 10 children in a way that we would, turn our nose up at, because we think, that's just not responsible behavior. So that fuels into the demographic threat. And ultimately, you're actually, if you're working and, you're and you've got, like, say, 2 children, you're actually funding through your taxes your own demographic destruction and demise through your taxes. So
exactly.
You actually pay for your own exactly. destruction. I mean, and the whole thing is so twisted,
I know. And just real fast. So, yeah, my brother, who's been living in Germany since about 1999 or so, he told me straight out. He said that it's well known in Germany that the average Muslim household has 0 working adults and that they do indeed have many children. And the fact of the matter is he said that there, with their social security system or their benefit structure, that unemployment is an actual, it's an occupation, essentially. So these people, they're diabolically ingenious. They've engineered a system for exactly what we talked about before, with our own demise. And I once again appeal to our British brothers. You came up with the Magna Carta. Time to do a Magna Carta II, where you tell the king, sign this document or off with your head.
Well, I was kind of looking to you guys, because you guys came up with the Constitution. We're all looking at each other going, well, what are we going to do? You know? We're all looking at each other's nations. And I was just saying to, Richard the other day, you know, if I wanted to go over and show some solidarity with the French, with what's happening there, I can't. And it's the same if you had French people wanting to come over here, because it's all the vaccinated, the unvaccinated people who are actually marching and protesting, and unvaccinated people can't travel. Well, not without a lot of hassle anyway, you know.
Well, thanks again for taking my call, you guys. And if I can say anything positive, I know there's going to be troubled waters ahead, but I have the feeling that it's not going to be that long before this thing really starts to fall apart, because they are just pushing it a little too fast and a little too hard, and I can't wait till we get some of the initial backfires.
Yeah, I think
they are pushing too hard and too fast, yeah.
Yeah, the pendulum can only swing so far in any one direction. Thank you for the call. Excellent points, Paul. Always a pleasure. And a final thought from Paul Edward Stevenson.
Yeah, well, I think it's a good thought that, you know, they are pushing too fast, and I think their aggression will be their undoing. And I think there is historical precedence for that when you look at the history of the core group that is pushing all this. Because this sort of aggression is typical of them, and I think they're as intelligent, in quotes, in a very kind of underhand, kind of sneaky kind of way to engineer all this, and you've got to hand it to them. I mean, they're doing a very good job of it. Their aggression ultimately outdoes their intelligence. They're a mad dog, and mad dogs usually end up one way.
Well, very well put. Well, thank you as always. I'll try to enjoy your week, and we'll speak to you soon, Paul.
Yes, thank you, Richard.
And please support RBN, folks. Your donations are the only thing that keeps us broadcasting. Stick around for Patrick Slattery with National Bugle Radio. Always an excellent broadcast. And we will speak again soon. Transcend the construct. Regards.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.